Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Lamed Dalet. We left off in daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis. Left off in daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis. We are up to about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom. Last one on the line is Hahu. One guy says to his friend, "What are you doing in this land?" That's how every single case seems to start off. Amrle, he says, "Well, minachz vinas va'achalti shnei chazaka. What do you mean? What am I doing here? I bought it from you. I bought this land from you, and I have a chazaka on it. I've already been here for 3 years. So obviously, you can't just say you have a chazaka. You need to bring edim that you have a chazaka." In his attempt to gather edim that he has a chazaka, I see chad sahada da'achla tlashni. He was able to find one witness that he ate it for that he's been in that land for 3 years. He was not able to find two witnesses. So he has one witness that he's been there for 3 years that he has a chazaka, and the other guy claiming that he never sold it to him. So Savar Rabban Kameh Dabai Lememar, Hainu Naschad Rabbi Abba. So the Rabban thought to say that this is exactly the situation of Naschad Rabbi Abba. What is Naschad Rabbi Abba? The Gemara is going to tell us what Naschad Rabbi Abba is. That's the first half of Lamed Aleph is exactly what the case of Naschad Rabbi Abba is. There are certain cases in Shas that become famous by the authors of those cases, by the people who have paskined certain halachos in those cases. Right? You have Gezeira de Rabba, you have Naschad Rabbi Abba, you have Pruta de Rav Yosef, you have what else? There are lots of cases that just because of Naschad Rabbi Abba, you have Shibud de Rabbi Nasan, right? Shibud de Rabbi Nasan, that if A O B and B O C, then A O C, etc. So this is Naschad Rabbi Abba. So one of the well-known cases in the third parak of Naschad Rabbi Abba. What's the case? The who gavred the chatav Naschad Mechabrid. There's a guy that grabbed a piece of silver from his friend, and asal kaved Rabbi Ami, and they went for a din Torah in front of Rabbi Ami. They saw Shimon grabs it from Reuven. So they went to Rabbi Ami. Have a yasur Rabbi Abba kameh. Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of Rabbi Ami, meaning, ironically, the case of Naschad Rabbi Abba was not a shaila that was asked to Rabbi Abba. It was asked to Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Abba just happened to have been sitting in front of Rabbi Ami. I see chad sa'ad the michtav chad famine. And he brought one witness, the fellow who had the item taken from him, Reuven, who was holding on to the item originally and had it grabbed out of his hands, brought one witness that indeed it was grabbed out of his hands. Now, if I'm able to bring two witnesses that was grabbed out of my hands, then the guy's going to have to pay me. I brought one witness that was grabbed out of my hands. Amrlei, now Shimon says, yes, that's indeed correct. I did grab it in Chatfi. I absolutely did grab it out of Ruvain's hands. But you know why? V'didi Chatfi. It was mine. That's why I grabbed it out of his hands. Amr Rabbi Amis. Rabbi Amis said, ooh, heichin dainuha dayana lahaidina. How's a dayan supposed to handle such a case? What do you do in such a case? The guy is moda to the event that it happened, and there's an eid echad that it happened. He's moda to that eid echad, but he's claiming that it was his. So what do we do in such a case? The shalim, should we make him pay? Lekatre sadi. You can't make him pay. There are no two witnesses. You're only supposed to make somebody pay if there are two witnesses that he owes the money. Lifterei, should we just let him off the hook and tell him, okay, you can go home, no problem? Ikachad sada, but there is a witness that saw that he grabbed it, and that witness is supporting the person who it was grabbed from. Lishtava, so normally what do you do when there's an Eid Echad? Eid Echad is not Mechayiv Mamun, but an Eid Echad is Mechayiv Shvua. So Lishtava, should we have him swear? Ha'amar Michtav Chatfa. But what do you mean have him swear? What would he normally swear? He would normally swear that the aid is not telling the truth. He would swear against what the aid is saying. Over here, the aid is saying that he grabbed it, and he agrees. He admits that he grabbed it. So what's he going to swear? He can't swear that he didn't grab it. He claims that he did grab it. He's just claiming it was his. So the aid can't be mechayev v'shvua on something else. The aid can only be mechayev v'shvua to deny what he's saying. But over here, he can't take a shvua to deny what the aid is saying because he doesn't deny what the aid is saying. So he says, "Michtav chatfa, v'kiven damer de chatfa, havelik gazlan." And once he says that he's chotev, this is a difficult line to understand exactly what this means. Once he says that he's chotev, he's like a gazlan in a certain sense. What exactly does that mean? So we'll have to discuss that. We're going to have to discuss a lot of the things that we mentioned in this Gemara. So he's, in a certain sense, he's like a gazlan once he says that he's chotev. So he can't take a shavua. So what do you do? So Amar Rabbi Abba, so Rabbi Abba was sitting there, or sitting right there, and Rabbi Abba said, oh, I'll tell you what to do. Have mechuyev shvur she'enu yachol lishava, v'kol mechuyev shvur she'enu yachol lishava mishalem. He's really mechuyev a shvur that he can't swear, and anyone who's mechuyev a shvur that he's unable to take a shvur is going to have to pay instead. So that's why he would this fellow would end up having to pay, not as a direct chiv to be mishalem, because again we don't have two edim, so there is no direct chiv to be mishalem, but he's going to have to pay. Because he really should have been mechuyev shvua. He can't take a shvua because he can't deny what the aid is saying because he agrees with what the aid is saying. And therefore, since he can't do either of those, so he can't take the shvua, he's going to have to pay. So what's in the context? Why are we bringing up this case? Because we want to say it's the same case as our chazaka case, that a guy says, I purchased this piece of land, and I have a single aid that says that I'm muchzuk in it for gimel shanim, that I've been in this land for 3 years. So what do we do? Right? It's the same dilemma the Gemara thinks to say, that since there's only an aid echad supporting him, so he should be mechuyev v'shvur shein yachol lishava, and he's mishalim. So it should be very similar to the case of Naschut Rabbi Abba. So says the Gemara, what are you talking about similar to the case of Naschut Rabbi Abba? It's not at all similar to the case of Naschut Rabbi Abba. Amar le Abaye, mi dami, hasam sahadu lo orue ka'asi, ki asi achrini bahadei, mafkinu laminei. It's a very fundamental difference between the two cases. By the case of the Naschut Rabbi Abba, the Eid Echad is coming to testify against the guy who took the item. And therefore, if that Eid Echad were to have a helper, if a second aid were to come along and say the same exact thing that the first aid were saying in that first case, he'd absolutely be chayiv to pay. Right, in that case. So the aid is coming to go against him. In our case of chazaka, what's the aid echad doing? The aid echad is coming to support the person who grabbed onto the field. It's coming to support the person who's holding on to the karka. And if another aid were to come and also say that he was there for 3 years, that he has chazaka, so better then he'd be able to keep it. Adrabah, he doesn't have to give it, then he would be able to keep it for sure, because then he would have to aid him, that he has a chazakah. So how can you even begin to compare the two cases? They're not at all similar. The Eid Echad is serving totally opposite roles in the two cases. Eli Dan Yohad Rabbi Abba, if you want to compare Rabbi Abba to something, you can compare the case of Rabbi Abba L'chad Sa'ada U'letarti Shni U'lepiri. You have to compare it to a totally different case. You want to compare Naschut Rabbi Abba to something, compare it to a case where there's one witness, 2 years, and the issue is peiros. What does that mean? So the Rashbam is ma'arich a little bit, as he generally is, and he explains the case. If you take a look at the bottom Rashbam, on Lamed Aleph Amud, before we go back to discuss everything we just said, the Rashbam just explains what exactly the case that you could compare Naschut Rabbi Abba to would be. Kigon Ruuven Ditavi Lishimon Vamalei Gazalta La Rai Vachalta Perusashnatayim. It would be similar to a case of Ruuven claiming against Shimon and saying, you stole my land and you ate 2 years worth of peros on my land. Vamalei Shimon Zvantaneli. And Shimon says, what do you mean? I didn't steal your land, I bought your land. Vles Lishimon Ede Chazaka. And Shimon doesn't have Ede Chazaka. So Dedino Hula Dure Ara Lamara. Now, certainly in that case, Shimon has to return the land to Reuven. He doesn't have any chazaka. He clearly doesn't have a chazaka. He doesn't have any edim that he has a chazaka. And he came to last day of the chazaka. What about the peros that he ate for 2 years? Ulepere mishtava de bezvine achaltinun. And when it comes to the peros, though, all he has to do is take a shvua that he bought those peros, that he ate those peros b'toras a sale. The kaimelan a pesha aser hu shehitir. Because we paskin that a pesha aser hu shehitir. And even though he's returning the land, he doesn't have to return the fruits. Why? Because there are no witnesses that he ate the fruits. How do we know he ate the fruits? Because he told us he ate the fruits. He said, of course I ate the fruits. I ate the fruits because I own the land. Now, we don't believe him that he owns the land, but he's not going to have to pay for the peros because We don't have any evidence that he ate the peros other than his own admission. And Apesha Asa, the same mouth that told us that that he owes the money, that he ate the peros, is who Apesha Yitzer could tell us that that he was entitled to eat those peros. Umigo the Yachal Memer lo achli klal, the Yachal Memer nami achli bezvini. Migo that he could have said I didn't eat anything. So we believe him to say that I ate it, but I had the rights to eat it. V'lesle Allah el shvua. And therefore, all we could be mechayiv him is a shvua. But if there were witnesses that he ate 2 years worth of peros, then for sure you would have to pay back the peros. So, but what did happen over here? If he had no witnesses that he ate the peros, so then for sure he'd be pater, take a shvua and get off the hook. If he had two witnesses that he ate the peros, then he'd for sure have to pay. What's the case that's similar to Naskud Rabbi Abba? Va'isi Ruvain Chatsa da Achal Piri Tatin Shnin. Ruvain was able to bring two witnesses that Shimon ate 2 years worth of peros. One witness, rather, that Shimon ate 2 years worth of peros. Ukugon Shemeyit Shalo Achal Ki Im Beiz Shanim. And that one witness was Meyid that he ate peros for 2 years, meaning he doesn't have a chazaka, the lav l'siyui l'shimon kasi, because he's certainly not, you don't want the aid to end up being helping out Shimon. If the aid were to come and say he ate the peros for 3 years, even if he says it in an accusative way, bottom line is, that's an aid helping Shimon's claim, because Shimon's claiming that he has a chazaka, and that's why he doesn't have the shtar of the mechira anymore. So you need the aid to say that he ate it for 2 years. Right, so Amar Shimon in Achli v'Didi Achli shekinisya karka v'aperos, and Shimon says, "You're right, I ate the peros, but I was allowed to because it's mine." Efes lo nesarti b'shtari. The only thing is, I just wasn't careful to watch over my shtar. Hahudi ikulid muil Rabbi Abba. That's the case. That's similar to Rabbi Abba. Damrin and Hechlu Dani Dani Lahaidina, because you could say the same dilemma that we had by Rabbi Abba. That how are Dayanim going to handle such a case? Nechayvila Adure Pere, Lekatre Sadi Dachlinu. What, you're going to make him return the peros? We don't have two witnesses that he ate the peros. Vimishim Daodi, and you say, oh, well, he was Moda that he ate the peros. Yeah, but Hatan Vamar Didi Achli. He was Moda, but he also said that the peros were his. And that's not a hoda'a that's going to be mechayev him. Niftere b'migo, you want to say that he's totally potter with amigo, that he could have said that he never ate the peros? But he couldn't have. There's one witness that says that he did eat the peros for 2 years. He can't deny what the eight said by swearing falsely. You want to be mechayev mishvua based on the eight echad that's against him, because after all, whenever two aidim could be mechayev mamon, generally one aid would be mechayev shvua. You can't be mechayev mishvua, because when are you mechayev mishvua? Only when the shvua would be to deny what the aid is saying. Over here he admits to what the aid is saying. The aid is saying he ate it for 2 years. He's saying, you're right, I ate it exactly for 2 years, but it was just mine. That's the case of Naskad Rabbi Abba. Right, that would be the parallel. If you wanted to have a case of going into someone else's karka and claiming it's yours, that would parallel the case of Naskud Rabbi Abba. That would be the case that parallels Naskud Rabbi Abba. Not the case that we brought in our Gemara, where you bring one witness that you have tlashni, that you're muchzuk in the karka for 3 years. Frekt the maritat. What is the hava amina of the Gemara that our case of Ruvain and Shimon, where Ruvain says, Shimon, you're in my land, and Shimon says, what do you mean, I have a chazaka in it, and he's able to bring one witness that he has a chazaka in it, what's the hava mina to compare that to Naskud Rabbi Abba? The chiluk is so clearly pashut that in Naskud Rabbi Abba, the eid echad is coming against the guy who grabbed it. And in this case, the eid echad is coming to support the guy who grabbed it. What in the world was the havamin of the Gemara? So sometimes you say, what do you mean? It's a havamin, and the Gemara addressed it. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara, that's why the Gemara didn't come to that maskana. But the havamin has to have a svara. There's mamish. I mean, it's so it's so bolate that there's a major difference between the two cases. What was the Gemara Havamina in comparing the two cases? Furthermore, frak the Maritats, a couple of diyukim. Biriyadaf quotes here from the Maritats. A couple of diyukim. The Lashon of the Gemara starts by saying that the Machzik says that I ate Shnei Chazaka. I've been here for years of Chazaka, which is, in other words, he's saying at least 3 years, right? And then it says that the Eid Echad came along and says, Shehu Achal Shalosh Shanim. Right, that's how we formulated the case. He said, "My bias by Ari says, well, I bought it from you, v'achalti shnei chazaka." And what does he do? He brings sahada, he brings chad sahada, dachla, tchlas shni. Why the change in lashon? Why not either say that the machzik says, I've been here for tchlas shni, and the aid agrees, or say the machzik says, I have shnei chazaka, and the aid is made that he was there for shnei chazaka? Why do we change the lashon in the case, if in fact the aid is supporting the machzik and saying the exact same thing as the machzik, why would we alter the lashon midstream? And furthermore, third question, why is the Gemara so ma'arich by saying that the machzik says that he has shnei chazaka, and then he brings an eid echad that achol shaloshanim? Why doesn't it just say that the machzik says he has shnei chazaka and an eid echad meyid kedvarai, and he has an eid echad that supports him? Why does he have to spell out what the eid echad says? Of course, Machzik says, Yashnei Chazaka, and the Erechad supports him. We know exactly what the Erechad is saying. The Erechad is obviously saying that he's been there for 3 years. So what kind of arichus is this? It seems like such an unnecessary arichus. So says the Maritats, all the questions can be answered with one idea. And the idea is as follows. The person who brought the aid in our case was not the Machzik. It was the Ma'arer. Foolishly, the Ma'arer brought an aid. What was he thinking? The Ma'arer said, look, this guy's in my land. And he has an aide that says, yeah, he's been there for 3 years. I saw him in your land for 3 years, just eating your peros. And the Ma'arer brings the aide echad to court and says, this guy has been eating off of my karka for 3 years. Now, in reality, it's not going to help the Ma'arer, right? In reality, if the Ma'arer would have brought two aides to say that, the Ma'arer would have just shot himself in the foot completely, and we would have awarded the land to the other guy, because you bring an aide that the other fellow has been there for 3 years, you're essentially giving him Eide Chazaka. But the case is that the Ma'arer brought the Eidim and not the Machzik. He wants to be motzi the peros from the Machzik that were eaten over the course of 3 years. He wants 3 years worth of peros that the Machzik has been on his land for. So that's, in that sense, it's similar to Naskul Rabbi Abba, because there's an Eidacha that says that this guy was Chotef, and the guy himself who was Chotef says, yes, in Chafi, Vididi Chafi, was absolutely mine. You're right, I was Chotef. And the aid is made that the Machzik ate 3 years of Peros, and the Machzik says, yes, Achalti, but Achalti Ashali. So in that sense, it's similar. Then the Gemara says, even though it's the Ma'arer bringing the aid over here, you have to realize how a second aid would have affected this. Meaning, the way to emphasize that the aid is really helping the machzik is by saying, what would have happened if two aidim would have said the same thing? Well, if two aidim would have said this, then that's it. We would have just awarded the karka to the machzik, and it would have been the end of story. So therefore, that's the chilek that the Gemara points out, that who's the aid really helping? That's the chilek. Okay, another issue, the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia and Avav has a suffix about two people come to Beis Din with a talis b'yadehem. Right, they're both holding onto a talus in their hands. One of them grabs the talus from the other one in front of the Beis Din. They're both holding onto it, and then one of them is stronger, yanks it, and takes it from the other guy. So the Gemara says, what's the din? Do we leave the talus where it is, or we consider the talus as if they were both holding onto it, because that's the way we initially saw it, as them both holding onto it, which is the first mission, Bamitzi, of course, of Shnayim Ochsin B'talus, right? So how do we view this case? So the Gemara says, well, what exactly happened? When Reuven grabbed it away from Shimon, what did Shimon say? Was Shimon absolutely quiet and he just didn't say anything? Well, if he was absolutely quiet and didn't say anything, that's what we call Hodas Baldin. And Hodas Baldin is Kamei Eidin Dami. By not saying anything, he's acknowledging, yeah, it belongs to Reuven, it's not mine. Did Shimon scream? Did Shimon say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you grabbing it? If he screamed, so then why would we view it as if the whole talus is Reuven's? We saw Reuven grabbing it from Shimon and Shimon screaming. So we should view the talus as it was before. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So, Frecht the Rashba, why in our Gemara don't we say the same thing? Right? What are we talking about in our Gemara? Why don't we say in our Gemara the same thing, that if the nitkaf was shasak, if the guy who the piece of silver was grabbed from was quiet, so that's what does baldin. right? And if he screamed, then he's the muhsak, right? Then we should look at it as the case was before. So he can't do more than screaming, right? So why don't we discuss what happened in terms of what his reaction was to determine what the halacha is in our case? Yet in Bamitzia, we seem to care a lot about what the reaction of the person who the money was grabbed from was. So the Rashbaz Miyashev, that no, when does it pay to scream dafka in front of the Beis Din? I mean, in front of a Beis Din, we're gauging the reaction. Why? Because when you're in front of a Beis Din, you know this is your chance to make your case. And if the guy grabs it and you don't say anything, you're passing up on a golden opportunity. And obviously, you're choosing not to make a case. If the guy grabs it and you scream, what are you screaming? You're telling the Beis Din, look, this is mine, and you're giving your tainus to the Beis Din. If you're outside of Beis Din and someone grabs something from you, what's the point? You're going to scream for what? Just to scream. No one's there to listen. You might as well go to the Beis Din and deal with it, let the justice system handle it. Right? So in our case, the chatifa was not done in front of Beis Din. The grabbing wasn't done in front of Beis Din. So there's no point in just, he could sit there and shry all he wants, but it's not going to help. There's no point in his screaming. So that's one ha'ara. Another idea, in the case of Nasa Rabbi Abba, we said that there was one witness that he grabbed it from him, right? Says the Shach, in any place where you're going to say mitok sheni yachli shavim mishalim, like in the case of Naska Rabbi Abba, and there's an eid echad that's misayeya the nitva, meaning we said what in the case of Naska Rabbi Abba, the toveya has an eid echad. This eid even saw that you grabbed it from me, and the eid testifies that Reuben grabbed it from Shimon. What if Shimon were to bring an eid that were misayeya him, right? So that were to help his side of the case out. So what would the halacha be then? So the Shach says whenever there's a chiyuv shvua based on mitok shein yachol lishavim mishalim, and therefore you're going to have to pay because you're unable to take the shvua. Let's say you're chashed al shvua. So mitok shein yachol lishavim mishalim, so you're unable to swear, and therefore you're going to have to pay. If you have an eid echad that supports your side, so it's not going to pater you from paying, because since the chiyuv has turned from a chiyuv shvua to a chiyuv mamon, eid echad doesn't do anything to a chiyuv mamon. So you bringing an aid that says that you're not chayiv mamon isn't going to do anything for you, because it doesn't help on a chiyuv mamon. An eid echad only helps against the chiyuv to affect the chiyuv shvua. But since the chiyuv shvua has turned into a chiyuv mamon because you were einu yachli shava, so then the eid echad is not going to help. The ktsos disagrees. The ktsos says no, that's ridiculous. He says over here you're chayiv shvua. You're only paying because you can't take the shvua. But fundamentally, what's the chiyuv? The chiyuv is a shvua. If you have an eid echad to help you, so an eid echad does help for shvua. Right? An eid echad does help to exempt you from shvua. The reason the nitva is not being nishva over here, and it doesn't mean that he's actually mechayiv money. He just can't be. He just can't take the shvua. So if there's so what was the whole yisod of the chiyuv to make him swear in the first place and to make him pay in the first place was only an eid echad against him. So he can bring an eid that will support him. Good, so that's the understanding of the ktsos. And the stipler just explains that the shach must view it that once we say no, you're chayiv mamon, once the Beis Din paskins that since you can't swear you're chayiv mamon, it turns into a chayiv mamon. We no longer view it at all as a chayiv shvua. We only view it as a chayiv mamon. Good, that is the fundamental machlokas between the ktsos and the shach. Just very important, the Rashbam at the top over here just points out, in the case of Naskud Rabbi Abba, there are four possible ways to formulate the case. Three of them the Gemara doesn't have a suffix about. The Gemara only has a suffix in one of the four possibilities. Again, Reuven grabs something from Shimon. There are three cases where Reuven grabs something from Shimon where there's no suffix. If there were two Eidim that were made, that he was Chotef, that he did grab it, there's no suffix. Then for sure, the guy who grabbed it has to pay, even if he says Didi Chati, even if he says that it was his, because we don't believe that it was his. We just see two Eidim that say that he grabbed it. Person's not Neman to say, if I'm caught stealing something, I'm not just Neman to say, yeah, it was mine. That doesn't work, right? The other person was muchzak in it. If there are two eidim that I took it from the guy who was muchzak in it, then for sure there's no question that I'm going to have to pay. If there wasn't even an eid echad on the chatifa, if there were zero eidim, then for sure I am believed to say that I grabbed my own thing, because I could have said I never grabbed it. I could have said that it was mine the whole time. So if there are no Eidim that I grabbed it, then for sure I'm believed to say that it was mine. If there's an Eid Echad that's made that I grabbed it, and the guy who grabbed it is Machish and says, no, I absolutely did not grab it, also Davar Pashut, it is Chayav Shvua. Right, that would not be a case of Nasr Rabbi Abba. The case of Nasr Rabbi Abba is only when you have exactly this setup, that there's an Eid Echad that is Meir, that he grabbed it, and the guy is Moda that he grabbed it, but he says that the Dichatvi. So just on this point that the Rashba makes, that if there were no Eidim at all that he grabbed it, then it would be a Dover Pashut that what? That he'd get to keep it, because after all, No one saw that I grabbed it. I could have just said it was mine the whole time instead of saying that I grabbed it and that I was just grabbing my own item. I could have just said that I never grabbed it. Fret Reb Chaim in the stencils in the Chidush Agrach al Hashas, doesn't the Nitkaf, the guy who it was grabbed from, have a cheskas metalpulim that anything that he's holding is his? And therefore, yes, there's a Migo over here. Migo, I could have said that I never grabbed it in the first place. Believe me that I grabbed my own item back from him. But isn't this amigo b'makom chazaka? Isn't this amigo against chazaka? Because the person who's holding onto it has a chazaka, that it belongs to him. Anything that's tachas yado, any metaltum that's tachas yado, you have a chazaka that belongs to you. And the Gemara has a safek if migo works negative chazaka. And the Rambam paskins that amigo doesn't work negative chazaka. So we're going to believe him with amigo that he could have said that he never grabbed it in the first place. So believe him, therefore, that he grabbed it and it's his. But there's a chazaka that if the other guy was holding on to it, that it was tachas yado, that it belongs to him, belongs to the other guy. So how can you believe the migo neged the chazaka? So Reb Chaim answers that where we didn't see the chatifa, where we didn't see Reuven grab it from Shimon, it's just that we know it based on the tokef himself, based on the person who grabbed it, that's not called a chatifa, because he's saying that it was chotef eshalo. And who's the one that really has the chazaka? As far as Beis Din is concerned, the nechtaf, the one who was grabbed from, doesn't have a chazaka, because Beis Din never saw it in his possession. As far as we're concerned, the guy who walks into court holding it is the one that has a chazaka, not the guy who was taken from. We never saw that the guy who was taken from ever had it. It's the guy who walks into court holding it. He's the one that has a chazaka. Good. Then we said that he can't take a shvua because he can't deny what the other fellow is saying. So the Rashbam writes that if the tokef were to claim, as we said, one of the three cases the Rashbam says, if the tokef were to say that I never grabbed it at all, then he would swear. Then it would be a davar pashut that it would be chayav shvua. Frakta v'chanan, why should he take a shvua? Harei ha'ed v'nitkaf yichol mitztarif piyachav l'postal b'toras gazlan. Can't the aid and the nitkaf, the guy who was grabbed from, and the aid together testify about him that he's a gazlan? They both know that he's a gazlan, so can't they testify about him that he's a gazlan and therefore pasalim la'edus, pasalim l'shvua? How can the guy take a shvua? Now you have two aidim that he's a gazlan. So I'm not sure of the mechanics of it. The person who was grabbed from, he's allowed to be made. I'm not sure if I can center on Chanan's kasha. He's allowed to be made that the other guy's a gazlan. Isn't he an ogei bedavar? So he must be assuming that I can't be made that he owes me this money, right? Because I'm an ogei bedavar on that. But on his overall character, I can be made because I'm not an ogei bedavar on that. Meaning whether this guy is able to serve as an aid in a Beis Din, whether he's that I can be made on. If I know that he stole something, even though it was from me, I could be made on his character. And therefore, Rav Elchanan asks, why can't the nitkaf, the guy who was grabbed from, plus the aide who saw the grabbing, get together and be made that the guy's a gazlan, and then any shvua that he takes is going to be worthless? That's the kash of Rav Elchanan. Now, again, he's assuming that it wouldn't be nogei b'davar when the nitkaf says such edus, and he answers that the gazlan is only nifsal edus and nifsal shvua after they're made that he's a gazlan. So over here, when he's taking the shvua, it's before they were made that they were made on him, and therefore he's still kasher. Meaning, it's in this case. It's only going to be going forward that he's going to be pasul. Meaning, in a chinami, these two guys could pasul him le'idus in the future, but on this case they can't pasul him because they're too late to pasul him for this case. And the Rav Elchanan writes that even if after sha'af sha'achakach she'idu yifsalim afreya mishas akzele, even if you're going to say that afterwards, they're going to, let's say, two Edom come to court on September 24th, and they say, we saw someone steal something on June 1st. So when does he become pasul? L'chori, he was a gazlan already from June 1st. Look, if he was an aid on something in January, fine. He wasn't. We don't know that he was a gazlan yet at that time. He could have been a tzaddik gomer at that time. But starting June 1st, we already know that he was a gazlan. So Rav Chanan says, so wait a second. So when these guys later on come and are made against him, shouldn't it be l'mafreya that he was nifsal the whole time? So says Rav Chanan, yeah. But you don't know at the time that he's saying the shvuah if they're going to be made against him that he's a gazlan. You don't know that that's going to happen, and that they're going to passel him as a gazlan, and therefore you have to let it go. You have to let him take the shvuah, and right now we would let him take the shvuah if he in fact wanted to deny what the Eid Echad was saying. Okay, that's Rav Elchanan. Says the Gemara Vayta. Let's move on to Amud Beis. Says the Gemara. It's a great thing about this parak. We could feel very comfortable with 5 minutes left, starting Amud Beis, and we're totally okay. There was a boat that two people were fighting over. They were fighting over the ownership of a boat. Each one claimed that it belonged to themselves, obviously. Says Rashbam, lo ze velo ze muchzakin ba. Neither one was muchzak in the boat. Midelo rami alami masnis and zeshayim oksim betalis. Meaning, if they were muchzak in the boat, then we would have said, ah, oh, this is the first mission of Metzia. It's just like Shnei Mochzim Metalis, right? Each guy is holding on to the item in question. So Shezeh Notal Al Makom Shehu Demagas, Shezeh Notal Al Makom Shehu Demagas, right? We would say that each one takes up until where his hand reaches. V'lo'armin kol dalem gavar, and we don't say let them fight it out. We let each one take up until where his hand is holding on to, and then the rest you would split, right? That's Shnei Mochzim Metalis. Over here, that's not the case. They're not walking into Beis Din holding a canoe, and each one, you know, trying to grab from the other one. So neither one is muchzak in it right now. Neither one is holding it right now. There's a massive boat in the water, docked in the water, and each one is claiming that it belongs to them. So asa chad minay lebedina va'amar tifsua ademaisina saadi didihi. So one of them comes to Beis Din and says, Beis Din, just do me a favor, hold on to the boat for me, just hold on to it, so that because I'm going to go gather my evidence, I'm going to find witnesses that are going to testify that the boat belongs to me. But in the meantime, I don't want this guy to grab it and take it and run off with it, and he's going to sail halfway across the world, and I'm never going to be able to get it back. So do me a favor, Beis Din, hold on to it. Beis Din should seize the boat until everything becomes clear. Right? That's the guy's taina. Says Rashbam, Tifsua, Pen Yim Karena, I'm afraid he's going to sell it. It's not so much that I'm afraid he's now going to be muchzak in it, because he can't become muchzak in it, meaning he's not going to be able to come to Beis Din and say, look, I'm holding on to it now. No, because it's already after I made a claim on it, so it's too late for the other party to make a chazakah. That's not my concern. My concern is not that he's going to make a chazakah, it's that he's going to sell it, he's going to run away with it. I mean, it's just going to be difficult for me to retrieve it from him, not halachically, but practically it's going to be difficult for me to retrieve it from him. And therefore, I want Beis Din to hold on to it. Right, because if the other guy were to just say, look, I'm grabbing onto it, I'm holding it now, so now it's mine, well, that Beis Din would not pay any attention to that, because we already know that this boat has a din Torah on it. So any chatifa at that point is absolutely useless halachically. But the guy is asking, Beis Din, please hold on to it, because I'm worried practically what's going to happen. So says the Gemara, tafsinan lo tafsinan. Does Beis Din listen? Does Beis Din do that? Is that a reasonable request, or do we not grab onto the boat? Rav Huna amar tafsinan, Rav Yehuda amar lo tafsinan. Rav Huna says, sure we do. And Rav Yehuda says, no, absolutely not. Azav lo ashkach sadi. Okay, the guy then goes and doesn't find witnesses. He needed the time to gather his evidence. He gathered, and there was no evidence to gather. Amar lehu afkua v'kol dalem gvar. So Beis Din says, the guy says, okay, Beis Din, you collect all of it, and kol dolim gavar. Meaning, had Beis Din never grabbed it, and no one claimed to have witnesses or anything, what would Beis Din have said initially? We would have said kol dolim gavar. Kol dolim gavar means, let the strongest man win. Meaning, Beis Din's going to say, you guys fight it out, we have no evidence, so what do you want Beis Din to do? Our hands are tied. If we have no evidence to go on, we can't decide this case. Your big boys decided amongst yourselves. Kol dalem gavar. And if you want to have a fight, so the stronger guy will win. Right? You'll do it however you want to do it. That's what we would have paskined. But over here, what happened? Beis Din was already toe-faced the boat so that this fellow can gather evidence. And now he couldn't find any evidence. So are we back to square one? Mafkinan or lo mafkinan? Do we now go back and say kol dalam gavar? Or do we say, no, we can't say kol dalam gavar. We already lost the opportunity when we grabbed the boat. So if you don't lo mafkinan, if papa mafkinan. The hilchasa and the halacha is, lo tafsin and bezin shouldn't grab it in the first place, but vehecha de tafas lo mafkinan. If they were tofes, then we're not going to take it, they're not going to be able to take it out and just say kol dalam gavar, fight it out again. Why not? So there's a major discussion about how kol dalam gavar works. It sounds very non-rabbinic, right? The idea of just letting that kol literally means kol da'alam, whoever is stronger, gavar, let him overpower the other one, and he's going to win. So is that really, that's the psak of Beis Din? So it's a major machlok rishonim, whether it's a psak or whether it's a siluk. Is kol da'alam gavar, that we're paskening kol da'alam gavar, and the guy who wins the fight must be the real owner? And the Rush says this way. The Rush says, yeah, he must be the real owner because the person who really owns it is going to be Moser Nefesh more for it. He's going to fight harder. He's going to work harder to get it. He's going to try to bring Rios that it's his. He's going to do whatever he can to make sure he ends up with it. And the person who it doesn't really belong to isn't going to fight that hard for it, because why should he fight that hard for it? Right? So he's not going to work too hard for it. Or maybe no, Kol Dalam Gavar is not based on paskening anything. Based on is nothing to paskin based on. Based on just says, we're leaving this alone. We're not touching this. You guys figure it out yourselves. If it's a siluk, it might be too late once Beis Din is tofesit. Once Beis Din grabs onto it and says, okay, we're going to hold on to it for you until you gather your evidence, well, then Beis Din wasn't mesalik. Beis Din got involved. Once Beis Din is involved, it could be it's too late for them to be mesalik. They need to do something else. So that's the machlokas. Once they were tofes, can they be mapik or not be mapik and go back to kol dalam gavar or not? All right, tomorrow sugi is really kol dalam gavar. We'll have a lot of opportunity tomorrow to discuss kol dalam gavar.